Welcome to Live Unashamed, where we pause the show and invite members of our team to talk vulnerably about their own recovery, things they're learning, the resources that are actually working, and what it truly means to live unashamed. Oh, now? Did you want us to start now?
How about now? Are we good now?
How about now?
Do we start now?
Things that I like doing. Giving Jaren a hard time. So, if any of you don't know Jaren, he's a good guy.
Yeah. And if you don't know Steven, he loves, you know,
giving people
a hard time. I mean, but anybody that listens to the show
and
knows
cheese fries from JCW's.
That's true. But they'll also know that you love giving people crap, especially me, you know, calling me old and all that.
Well, I think you're leading into that. I also am just, to use your words against you, a truth teller.
Mm.
So you indeed are an old man.
Oh, great. Thanks.
Oh, great.
So
turns out
you're welcome for me being a truth teller.
You bet. Yeah.
That's what we do now, right?
Old man James.
Living in shame means you're a truth teller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Living the truth.
So.
Jamesy.
I'm going to tell the truth. I'm 49 years old.
Let's go.
And you ain't even 50 yet?
And because I'm 49, I'm going to have to root for the 49ers this year on the Super Bowl because I'm 49. So
yeah, because we're filming this the week of. Yeah. So this.
Well, I mean, but that's what we're filming.
Right. So here's what we're knowing. Here's what we're knowing. So, well, recording, I guess.
Recording, filming.
Because my phone ran out of storage battery, so this isn't going to go on our YouTube channel, this one. But exclusive to the podcast.
Whoops. Oh, podcast only.
So what the world will know is if you have old man wisdom, because the Super Bowl will have happened.
Mm.
Yeah. Awkward. I actually have a football autograph by Steve Young. Did you know that about me?
I did.
Young
I've seen
Steve,
it.
My main man, Steve Young. Clever of him. Mm-hmm. Shout out, Steve Young.
Great
Slung
book,
that rock,
by the
baby.
Way.
Oh, I heard that's a good book. I
he's
saw
got
it already.
He's, got a, he's yeah. got a great book.
Behind the Spiral.
Called The Law of Love. That is so good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Highly recommend anybody that is looking for a good read.
Would it help anybody with long-term recovery?
Sure would.
Sweet.
Speaking of long-term recovery, Chris, is long-term recovery possible?
I believe so. I've got 16 years. Is that long enough? Or is that long?
Is that long term?
Is that long term?
Now, Hold on. Because, you know, I can easily just go right to, like, and if I was listening to this podcast, I'd be like, okay, guy. Right? And so, here's what I want to say. Okay, guy, Chris, when you say you have 16 years of what?
Sobriety.
Meaning you have not had a sexual relationship with any woman other than your wife in 16 years.
100%.
You have not looked at porn in 16 years.
Let me rephrase that. I have not actively looked at porn.
Right. Like,
I'm searching it out. Have I seen porn? Yeah. And
I've
talked
about
it. Yeah,
because I think
right?
accepting the reality that we're all going to see porn. Well, you even had, this isn't a made up story. This isn't us like, what would be a good story to make up about how we run into porn? You are at your
new
previous job.
Yeah.
I'm there.
You're on your Salesforce software.
Yeah. And you guys know Salesforce, it's like a business software.
Yeah.
And you click on the links to the websites of the companies that you're going to be calling. I click on the link and it takes me to a hardcore porn site that at the time I hadn't seen for 15 years probably. Yeah. Like, holy frick, like 14 years, I think. 14,
and so
15
you're
years.
Like, I'm back, baby. That,
so
like that it,
I,
no,
start,
I remember you
I
called
start
me
shaking.
Like right away.
Yeah.
Start shaking. So I'm like, I click off.
But anyone, I'm just going to, let's just cut the head of the snake off right
pause
now.
This right
anyone
now.
Who would call that a relapse, go crawl in your dark hole of dismal hopelessness and enjoy yourself.
Right.
Because the rest of us are going to operate up here in the light where God's healing really happens. That is not a relapse.
Right.
If I
went back to it, then it absolutely would have been.
Or if in that moment you got small in your cube and scrolled around for 15 minutes, I'd call that a relapse. If you scrolled around for three minutes, I'd call that a relapse. If you made the choice to be active in that stimulant and stay in it and get the lust hit, to use the 12-step word.
Totally.
And to stay in, like, then I would be like, you relapsed. But it popped up. You freaked out. You shut it down. You're calling us. You're calling Autumn. That is not a relapse.
Right. So if I looked at porn, I mean, like actively looked at porn? Nope. Not for over 16 years now.
Masturbated.
14 years. 14 years and 3 months right now.
Well,
actually, it's 3 months today.
And, oh, congrats on
2 months today.
Right. Congrats on your 14 years, and 2 months. That's right. A very significant date.
Woo,
when you hit the 14-2, that's when you really know.
Right.
So we tell all the clients anyway.
That's when it reaches long term.
Yeah, it's all about the 14-2. No. But, and again, because you're going to get all the people that say this, I'm talking about compulsive masturbation.
Right.
I'm not getting into the self-care crap. I'm also not getting into the reality that in your sexuality with Autumn, not saying you have to own any of this or whatever, but
right.
In your reality, in your coupleship, masturbation could happen that is in your intimacy.
With a spouse.
Because I just want to take out anyone that's like, your hand has not touched your penis in 40. I'm like, look, there's a difference between in my healthy sexuality with my spouse, right, in alignment with my values, versus compulsive masturbation,
right?
Yeah. Which the three of us are all very familiar with. Yeah. But Chris, you're like a unicorn, right?
No, you're the only person in the world that's ever done that, right?
Nope, I'm not.
Oh.
There are other people that have got long-term sobriety.
Like, you would suggest that there might be plenty of people like you, all outsiders like you, all unashamed enough for an hour to live out who they're supposed to be as sober people.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, but if it's possible, how come so few people do it? If it's so possible.
One, I don't think that they go deep enough to understand why they are being drawn to it. Two, I think they still like it.
It still has a payoff.
Yeah, still has a payoff. And it's still like welcoming to them. They're like, yeah, this feels good and I like it. And I'm not ready to give this up yet. And we can go back to hope. Like, I mean, they just don't have hope that they can actually have that. I was like that because saw guys all the time. They're like, oh, I got 2 years.
How many years were you in recovery before you got sober?
I was in recovery.
Sober from what?
Because you and I took a couple shots at it, right? Like that. Like,
yeah.
People who don't know your story, Chris was in therapy group, lying, still having an affair, still. Yeah. So I mean, that's what I mean by like, how many years were you like wrestling in it, managing it?
For a couple of years, like a couple of years of,
a couple
of
years, like one or a couple of years, like 10.
Well, actually being in recovery was just a couple of years, but trying to manage it was a long time. I mean, my whole life I was trying to manage it. I was trying to manage it on my own.
Yeah.
And by myself, you know, and I'm like, I got to stop. It's the new year. I'm going to stop. It's, you know, after Christmas, I'm going to stop, or after my birthday, I'm going to stop. And it never stopped.
Right. Well, yeah.
Until it did.
Until one day I just stopped. But that I still have three different sobriety dates because I didn't stop everything all in one shot.
Right. Which is, I mean, that's where I'm speaking my own story right now. That's, I haven't talked about it for a while, I think, on the podcast in a straightforward way. But January, just this January, is 5 years from acting out with any other women, any, you know, anything that, which for sure the longest I had before that was like a year and a half or 2 years. Wow. I can't remember.
Yeah, I got
Kayla were here, she'd go.
I got a little over 49 years of sobriety from acting out with another woman.
Yeah, cool. The porn jockey James over here telling us what the thing is, right? But so coming upon a year in March, so but on porn and masturbation. And but I here's my, why is this question so important?
Because people want hope.
Mm-hmm.
That's how people get into recovery.
Yeah. I mean, it takes time, you know, especially if that's been the coping mechanism. It's been the answer. Mm-hmm. It takes time to make the appropriate lifestyle changes in order to get whatever need that was meeting for me. Like, it takes time to make the adjustments to actually get my needs met in a healthy way that's in alignment with my value system.
But do I have to arrive at long-term sobriety before I get any of the benefits of recovery?
No. No.
Clearly no.
Why do you say clearly no? With such confidence.
Well, look at you or I. Mm-hmm. we have reaped the benefits of a recovery lifestyle and have still struggled, right, at intervals or whatever, be it a year or a month, to, you know, kick porn or masturbation at any time. But we've, like, I've been living recovery since 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You went, what, 2014?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
April 2014.
And yet you're like, it's only been 5 years since you were with another woman, coming up on a year with porn and masturbation.
Right.
But yet you have still reaped a lot of rewards and benefits of a recovery lifestyle
100%.
That's gotten you to that point.
Right, 100%.
And well, same with me, right?
And I know, I'm sure there's someone listening to this podcast right now that's like, dude, he's not even a year off of porn. And they like now discredit what we're doing and don't want to, you know. Because
and I'd be like, uh-huh, yeah, try it on. Try on the stuff that we're doing, and you tell me that that won't uplift and change your life and start to make your life better. And guess what? You too, at a certain point, will walk away from the affairs, from the porn, from the masturbation, whatever.
Well, and and that's why I think, like, when it enters a place of perfectionism, that's where I think, like, you're just wrong, you know? Like, Chris and I, we've had this conversation that I'm like, Chris, you go act out tomorrow and you lose your banner of being the guy that's 16 years sober. Like, what does that change for you?
Changes my sobriety date, but it doesn't change my ability to step back into my lifestyle because I know who I am. And it's not like, oh, you know what? Now that I've done this, I'm going to spend the next year reeling because of what I just did. I just get back on the wagon and be like, hey, I messed up and I own up to it. Reach out to my guys, reach out to
do the recovery stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Do recovery. Yeah.
Yep.
But
and enjoy and reap the benefits of a recovery lifestyle.
Right. But it doesn't discredit your 16 years of sobriety.
Totally. Because that's sobriety.
And 2 months of sobriety. It doesn't, because I think we, you know, that's that, you know, quote that came to me when we were at that doing that boot camp advance thing, when I was like, shame tells you that your behaviors is evidence of your future, but really it's just a witness of your past, right? Because shame would tell you, oh, if you relapse, right, or if I relapse, then take the calendar of 16 years out. Doesn't matter now. You're day one in recovery. So go to your 12-step meeting, get your hope chip, because that's all you're worthy of. And you're all the way at square one.
Recovery completely over and everything's screwed up. And
where I look at it like a marathon, and it's like, so you're telling me if Chris is pacing a 7-minute mile and he's on mile marker 24 and you stumble and you hit the pavement, and you have to get up, and so your time is a little bit messed up now, right? Your perfect pace of 7-minute miles is now off by 30 seconds because you fell down. Are you literally trying to tell me with a straight face, in any spiritual church thing or any clinical therapy thing, that you are literally now magically back at the starting line of that marathon?
No way.
It just makes no sense.
Yeah.
Unless you're all about perfectionism and living in your shame, then it makes perfect sense.
Like, I have a buddy that he's had two slits with masturbation in 13 years.
Do you know what I think the difference is?
Freaking
between,
dope.
Yeah. Do you know what I think the difference is between you and him? Nothing.
No.
Nothing.
I'm like waiting for you to go. Yeah.
Nothing.
Totally. Totally.
Yeah. Nothing. I think he could go give a fireside, become a life coach.
Yep.
I mean, nothing. But perfectionism would say, it's evidence that the perfection isn't real.
Right.
And I think that's messed up.
Yep.
Yeah.
But so what about the person that says, like, okay, well then, great, you just gave everyone justification to keep acting out.
I don't know where that would come from, though, because I don't, what we just talked about, yeah, would not be any kind of a justification of asking out.
But what about the bunch of people who are managing addiction who are like, oh, it's fine. I know this group. It was one of the first 12-step groups I joined, Church of Arapaima. These two guys would roll in every time. I kind of want to go back to that meeting. They're still there. So I could be like, hey, you're the ones I'm talking about. You should listen to this podcast. Some people did it. You should listen to them. But I go in there every, I could tell you, it was Mondays at lunch. I could take you to the church building it was held at in downtown Salt Lake. And they'd walk in, they'd be like, so, you know, I looked at porn again this week and, you know, my wife's upset and I just, you know what I mean? And they just go
every week, same story, different day.
Every week, same story. And I'm like, dude, what the, you've been coming to this meeting, one of them for 8 years, one of them for 5 years. And I'm like, hey, I mean, I'm new to recovery, but guess what, hotshot? This ain't working for you.
This is the one meeting.
And maybe they're just going through the motions because that's what their wife wants them to do.
Or whatever.
Or whatever. Right. Motives,
sure,
right?
Whatever.
I mean, it could be whatever, that could right? be it or whatever. But the point is, I'm saying, like, that I would argue, like, that's not even a recovery mindset.
Right.
And totally. So when we say sobriety is one thing, recovery is another. That's true.
Recovery is a lifestyle.
Well, and it's a heart space.
Totally.
Oh, yeah.
It's a state of being.
Mm-hmm.
An attitude shift, a mindset shift, a spiritual shift, an emotional shift. Like, it, again, when I say lifestyle, I mean, yes, all of it shifts.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
The whole thing shifts.
Well, my favorite was, and I'll shout him out. So shout out to Jess. Jess, you know exactly who you are. You're wearing a sick pair of J's right now.
Yeah.
Don't think that I don't know. And your Tesla's about to run out of battery on the side of the freeway while you get pulled over by the cops for a speeding ticket. So I see you, Jess. But he was in a therapy group I was facilitating, and he was like, hey, when do we graduate? When are we done? So like I can go back to living my life, right?
Yeah.
Meaning he didn't understand at the time it's a lifestyle change.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, how quickly do I have to like, you know, pay my dues here like a speeding ticket so then I can go back to the way I was living? That's not it. It's a change. It's a real change. That's the recovery is the real change. Your sobriety will figure itself out. Again, your buddy who masturbated twice in 13 years, real talk, if you believe in Jesus, who cares?
Totally.
And so that perfectionism and shame will destroy you, right? I mean, that's what we talk about, you know, that identity of being an addict and hanging on to that. That's, you know, not good, as they say. Not good.
So I have a question for you guys. I had a client that asked me, what's the difference between recovering versus recovered? How would you answer that?
That might be a topic for another Live Unashamed episode.
Could be.
We'll get around to that. I think we'll table it. Jaron, write that down.
Got it.
Look for that one on a future episode.
What I would say is I think there's a difference.
Totally. Yeah. We discussed it. We had a phenomenal discussion about it.
Yeah.
So we'll totally bring it up.
Yeah, let's give it its due time.
Yeah. Give it its due.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But that's where, so is long-term recovery possible?
Yes.
Or long-term sobriety? The answer to both those questions is yes. And you actually get the fruits of it the second you start walking down that path. Like, I do not get the joy of eating the cheese fries after I have eaten all of the cheese fries. The second I can smell the cheese fries.
Right, you start to enjoy it. You start to reap the benefits of it.
Right, the second you eat the first cheese fry, right? And we see this from people all the time, right? That they do a therapy thing or boot camp or whatever. I'm like, and they're like, I'm in the joy. You know, this was amazing, but how do I keep? I'm like, you're already here. You've arrived. Congratulations. Being a year sober isn't. How many guys have you talked to that they get a year sober and they're so disappointed that the perfectionism of that did not bear fruit that then they relapse and then the shame doubles down on itself? I've heard that story over and over.
Mm-hmm.
I worked super hard. I got to a year of sobriety and then turns out nothing was different. And then I'm like, how disappointing is this? And then I relapse. So then I'm like, I'm stuck in it forever. Dude, stop worrying about it. Stop asking this question. Maybe that's what I want to say. Stop asking. Stop worrying about your long-term sobriety. If you believe in Jesus, stop worrying about it.
and start stepping into recovery and a recovery lifestyle.
And it's a choice you make every single day.
Right.
To do it different. Not in a made-up fantasy land way. Like, actually be kind. Actually battle to change your marriage so you actually want to be in it. Actually change. Actually right. do something to
actually
change your relationship
isolating.
With God.
Actually stop overworking yourself. Actually do self-care. Actually
do brotherhood.
Right. Be vulnerable in a way that's like super scary. Because by definition, like vulnerability is scary. Like do
feel
all
your
of
emotions.
That.
Try it on.
Right.
Yep. But we totally brag about some folks. So send us an email and tell us about so anyone who believes that long-term sobriety is not real or long-term recovery is not real. If you think you're there, you've experienced the benefits of a long-term recovery lifestyle or, right, long-term, you know, sobriety has happened for you like Chris or, you know, feel that I'm coming into myself or whatever, then, yeah, send us an email, reach out to us. So Stephen, James, and Chris at unashamedunafraid.com. Invite you to donate. Become an outsider. Help us with the movement. Help us with the message. Unashamedunafraid.com. Got scholarships for you as well. And until we can connect again, give us 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe at social media, Unashamed Unafraid, and continue to live unashamed.